Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. On the trombone, Wycliffe Gordon. On the piano, Eric Reed, who is our guest on Improvisations. He is the newest UT Jazz faculty member. Actually, there are two new ones, but he's the piano guy, artist in residence, and wow, he's just had an incredible career playing with Wynton Marsalis, releasing several great records of his own, his work with the Knoxville Jazz Orchestra. Ben Hall tells me he has a Pulitzer Prize, and I didn't even know that, so we'll get into that on another interview, but here is part one of my interview with Eric Reed, a new Knoxvillian. Eric Reed is here, and I can't tell you, Eric Reed, we are so excited that you, after all you've done, have landed in Knoxville, Tennessee, and are teaching at the University of Tennessee. How did it happen?
Oh, my goodness. That's quite a story, I tell you. But it all started with Vance Thompson. You can give him the credit or give him the blame, whichever you desire. But he asked me, he said, have you ever thought about teaching at a university? And that was pretty much it. That was a year ago in July when I came here to play with the Knoxville Jazz Orchestra. And the rest, as they say, is history, short and recent as it is. It couldn't have worked out more smoothly if I had planned it myself. And this past year, this past 4 years, I think we've all seen we've seen so much extreme change and how there's so little that's actually in our control. So very, very little. Even the people who are trying to control and manipulate are seeing that, you know, there are other powers, other forces at play that are going to throw a wrench in the works. So whether your plans are for good or whether your plans are for evil, you're not really controlling this. Even this whole notion of the 1% and the people, you know, making all of these decisions and controlling this and controlling economies and controlling cultures, controlling nations, they're not in control either. They're more in control than we are.
For the moment. Yeah, and then there's the definitions of control, you know, like, you know, things are coming apart as well.
Yes.
You know, old structures are coming apart as well.
Yes.
And it's kind of interesting to either watch it shake up or maybe, you know, be a part of the shake up.
I see it as both. I'm in spite of how bleak it looks day by day, I still have hope. I'm still hopeful because I wake up every morning and I go to work. Hopeful people don't do that. And I go to work, and I go to work excited. I pop up out of bed 5:30 in the morning, every morning. I get to school, I practice, then I teach. Very honorable profession. My brother's a teacher. I love this. I didn't know that I would fall in love with teaching. I've done, you know, master classes and things like that, and I've taught some private lessons here and there. But this day in, day out, week in, week out, daily interaction, engagement, and constant digging inside of the recesses of my brain to pull out information and the information that I have to learn to kind of refresh or reboot some of the information that I've had in my brain for 30 years, 40 years, and having to tweak how I share the information. And these students, they're so hungry. They're so hungry, they're so eager. They're so respectful, appreciative. The faculty, phenomenal people. The director of the school, I've had zero. Now, granted, I've lived here less than 2 months, but I've had no bad experiences here. I was a bit leery about coming from the big city, Los Angeles, to the South, even though I was familiar with Southern culture. And my parents are native Southerners, my father from North Carolina. You know, you hear what you hear. But I always try to take people at face value and have my own experiences, you know. So I wasn't so much afraid as much I was a little bit hesitant. But the city of Knoxville has embraced me as far as I'm concerned. People are quick to chat you up. I mean, they'll chat you up for a good little while, too. I mean, excuse me, sir, where is Chapman Highway? Oh, you go right down there, you make a right, and you can go this way, but if you go that way, you'll hit more traffic. So you might as well just take this way over here, and you'll go over this hill. And I'm like, just point so I can go. But 15 minutes later, we're having a conversation. He's like, oh, yeah, I'd love to walk across here in the morning. It's really, really nice to walk across here with my wife and my dog. I'm like, wow, nobody's in a hurry down here. I think maybe that was a little bit of a culture shock, that part.
Now, when you were thinking about coming down, or you were contemplating this, I'm sure you had to talk to Donald Brown, whose place you're taking.
Yes. Well, I don't say that. First of all, there's no way that I could take the place of a man who's been here 30 years and left such a tremendous legacy of love, and a love of music, a love of people, a love of life. So I'm not taking his place. I think adding an extension. You know, there's no way to fill those shoes. So I didn't come here with the idea, nor was the opportunity presented to me that way. Yes, Donald Brown did retire, but I'm officially an artist in residence and lecturer. And so that right there pretty much clears that up. The sign on outside of my office says jazz piano, but it's a bit more expansive in its scope. And I did talk to Donald Brown, and Donald Brown, I've known Donald since I was 17. And so Donald is a mentor and teacher to me as well. And I find it so ironic that I should be here coming behind him in the jazz area. I spoke to quite a few people, actually. When I was first considering this, I made a long list of people. I spoke to Billy Pierce, Terrell Stafford, Rodney Whitaker, Carl Allen, John Clayton. Talked to my mama. Talked to my brother, who's a teacher. My entire family. I talked to one of my former pastors. I talked to a whole bunch of folks because I knew I was going to be coming into a very new situation for me, coming from being on the road full time to being in a classroom full time, and still with the opportunities, of course, you know, to go on the road intermittently. That was the idea, except COVID came and changed all of that. But more than anything, I had people really in my corner sending positive vibes, encouraging me, motivating me, praying for me. And the toughest part, I think I said to you before, the toughest part about the transition was the actual trip, because I drove across country with my niece and my brother and my sister. And a lot went wrong on that trip. And I'm thinking to myself, maybe this is a sign. Should I just turn back? Why is all this going on? It's like something's trying to stop me from getting there. I said, no, just keep on pushing, keep on pushing. And isn't that what life is? You know, you hit a stumbling block, you fall down, keep on pushing, keep on pushing. Thank you.
This is Improvisations. That was Eric Reed on the piano and leading that group from his recording It's All Right to Swing. And Ben Hall and I agree, this is a really fabulous record. That was In a Lonely Place. Earlier we heard Wade in the Water from this very same recording. And Eric Reed is with us on Improvisations. He's just moved to Knoxville. He's teaching in the UT Jazz Department. I'm kind of curious about, you know, how COVID and all that played into his arrival.
When COVID hit in March, initially my plan was, okay, I'll come down to Knoxville and I'll be at university full time, and then I can still go on the road here and there, you know, go on the road during the summer, during the winter, during the breaks and things like that. And oh, I had all my plans for how I was going to invest and save. And then COVID hit in March. I said, okay, but I still have this opportunity waiting for me. I called Dr. Pappas, and I said, Dr. Pappas, is this still going to be school in September? Because nobody knew what this was going to look like. Nobody knew. We just didn't know. We're going to be fully online. What's going to happen here? He said, oh, no, absolutely, please. Please get down here. And Dr. Pappas just he didn't sugarcoat anything. But he absolutely did his level best in every facet to make my situation here something concrete. And I'm in a place of gratefulness, Todd. That's where I am. I'm very fortunate. I'm very grateful. I'm very excited. I love doing what I do. I guess it's the third, fourth week of school. I have no idea. And I'll be perfectly honest. I've got a syllabus, but I've never done this 15 weeks in a row. I'm wondering if I'm going to run out of information. I may have to go back to school and study some more stuff to teach.
I don't know. I think that real life experiences and all making the records and playing with all the different people,
sure,
and all the different types of groups and yeah, and that kind of knowledge you can't really read and study. You have to live that experience to be able to transmit it.
This is the truth. And that was made very plain to me, that no one expected me to come down here and, like, you know, be theorizing week in and week out. They hired me specifically because of my experience and because of my background. So that made perfect sense. I just kind of psyched myself out, because, you know, you think about university degrees, doctorates, it can be kind of intimidating if you don't come from that environment, you know. So I said, okay, you really want me to just talk about the stuff I've done in my life, huh? That's what I'm going to be doing every day. Okay, I can do that.
Tonight's guest on Improvisations, Eric Reed. I want to thank him for taking the time to come down, and we had a really great chat. We got into a lot more things, so in a couple of weeks, we'll hear part two. It gets pretty interesting. I'm telling you, it's already interesting, but it's going to get more interesting. I'm Todd Steed. When I come back, I don't know. I have a feeling it will be really good, whatever it is. We'll find out together.